Welcome to We Are Libertarians. I am Chris Spangle, joined by Greg Lenz, and we are here after the vice presidential debate. We're also on Facebook Live. Thank you, Harry. Harry's also in the background. There's going to be so many monitors and so many computers.
It's going to be epic.
It's going to be great.
It's like a virgin vault.
I was thinking that Saturday as I was setting all this up, rearranging the podcast studio, hanging some more things on the wall. I was like, there is no woman that will ever sleep with me if they come in here. If they aren't a libertarian, if they're a libertarian, they might walk in and think that this place is cool, but no one else. Maybe not even then. But listen, if I'm single forever, which... at the rate I'm going, it just is more time for the listeners.
It's a sacrifice.
That's exactly right. You know how much
you are being pursued, but you care so much about the listeners, you have decided to take a vow of chastity in their honor.
Exactly right.
Or celibacy, sorry.
Just want to take a quick moment before we start recapping the debate to thank Christy Avery. Christy is the best friend of this program. She helped us get a brand new board, a new recorder that really upgrades. If you can hear how great I sound and how good Greg sounds, that is thanks to Christy Avery. She is the best friend any podcaster could ever have. So just wanted to take a moment and thank her for her support of Weird Libertarians and our
thank
board.
Thank you, Christy.
Our board is three times the size of Rob's now.
I know. Board just got three times bigger.
We have such a bigger... we have like three times the inputs. So many more inputs.
It's going to be really tough. I mean, he says he gets the best guests and does the best interviews. I don't know if that's the case anymore.
I got to teach Greg mic technique before we're going on year four. But
well, usually I hold it. I'm not used to the stands.
I know. Yeah, I rigged up the studio a little bit.
I'm fine holding it, but now I feel awkward.
Yeah. Well, you can hold it if you want. Go ahead, hold it.
Okay. Much better. I'll see you now. I'm home.
There you go. All right. Good.
This is brand new.
Yeah. So Mike Pence and Tim Kaine had a little debate way different than I thought it was going to be.
Me too.
Yeah. I thought that this was going to be far more vanilla and boring.
It was wonderful.
It was more exciting than the Hillary Trump debate.
It was. And it was way more policy driven. She should have done she really was better than Lester Holt. And that's not racist because she was a minority too.
Oh, you meant... You mean Elaine Quinto?
I don't think that's what you called her earlier, but yes.
That's not... Harry, turns out, is the biggest... Never mind.
Yeah.
There's a little clip right there, too, on the stand there. That's hanging you up a little bit, too. Like, on the stand.
Oh, it's okay right here.
All right, okay. All right.
Thank you, though.
Trying to make you feel comfortable.
I appreciate it. I thought it was a really solid debate and way more contentious than I would have ever expected.
Yeah. Mike Pence, we talked earlier about him being he's always on point. He's input, output, input, talking point, output. And he always comes across polished, even when he does the platitudes.
He doesn't get flustered.
He doesn't, but tonight was the pokiest, if that's a word that I've ever seen. I mean, he was needling him. He was pointing out what all of us could see. You know, Tim Kaine was awkward and just trying to wedge
a tryhard.
He was a tryhard.
He was a tryhard. He was the internet tryhard.
And Mike Pence pointed that out. I mean, it was totally, it was kind of out of character for
it was cringy.
What we know of Mike Pence. Yeah. No, there is no doubt. Tim Kaine, I hate the concept of who won and lost a debate.
Yeah.
But in terms of who leaves this debate up and who leaves this debate down, I definitely think that Mike Pence walks away looking really good.
Mm-hmm. Presidential.
Presidential and...
Front runner.
And front runner for 2020 if Trump loses.
Yeah, I thought he didn't let Kaine get to him, but he was like, he would eventually... You can draw blood eventually or annoy somebody to death. Tim Kaine is that annoying little gnat.
Yeah.
That just won't stop, and it loves to hear how he's right and you're wrong, and then smiles after he gets an answer or points out where you made a mistake.
Here is the definition of try hard: a person who puts a large amount of effort into achieving a certain image or counter image to the point where it is obviously contrived. Rather than achieving an image through genuine personality, the try hard is constantly consciously attempts to fit a certain style through deliberate imitation, forced style, or scripted behavior. This is to say he or she is trying to create an image. And, you know, we all know what happens if little Timmy Haskell doesn't hit those...
Is it Eddie Haskell or Timmy?
Well, Timmy Kane. Timmy Haskell, yeah.
Timmy Haskell. Yeah.
But he definitely... if he doesn't hit those talking points, you know what's going to happen to him.
Oh, my God. Hillary's going to Roger Brown, or was it Vince Brown?
Vince Foster. Yeah. I heard that Tim Kaine, because he didn't do so well, is feeling a little suicidal tonight.
Yep. They're getting Joe prepped.
It's terrible.
Cause of death? Suicide by 12 gauge to the stomach.
So, yeah, Tim Kaine just couldn't have, before we were like, he seems like a great guy. He couldn't have been more annoying.
That isn't him. Like, there was none of the self-deprecating, calmness and self-effacing demeanor. He was poached on the edge of his seat.
Yep.
That eyebrow kept going higher. Every time he scored a point, it went up a millimeter. Until by the end of the end of the night, it was like glued to his hairline.
This self-satisfaction. I mean, that...
Oh, yeah.
Liberals all have that smug sense of satisfaction.
Yep.
But and Pence... We watched CNN, and they had the split screen, and it was just well, you son of a bitch.
Oh, yeah.
There you go again.
I know. He pulled out, "There you go again." He used Reagan.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think politicians should ever do that. Like,
quote other great moments.
I really don't think they should, or try to use it again, because then it's just like all of it's lost.
Right.
You know, create your own tagline or something like that.
Exactly right.
I hate it when it's repurposed, because it just comes up. Like, that was the one thing I didn't like about Pence's performance, because otherwise I thought he took a lot of hits. But he did it in a heavyweight contender type way. Like,
yeah,
this guy could throw all the little barbs he wanted to at me, but he's no match.
Right.
And so I'm going to just sit here and take it, point out why he's lying, and that's going to be it.
Yeah. Kaine really, he was overprepared.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we talked before, you know, when you're a politician and you're running for an office, or if you're a comedian or a writer or a podcaster, you've got to prepare, and you've got to know your stuff, and input. But there is a certain point where if you practice the same thing over and over and over, you over-prepare yourself.
Yeah, it's like he took a 5x3 index card, and he filled in double lines on every single college-spaced line.
Right.
And it had everything written out perfectly.
So the goal of trying to pin him to Donald Trump's statements seems so forced.
You are Trump.
Right.
Admit it.
Right.
You are one and the same.
Well, and he was sticking to those points so much that his logic came across totally flawed.
Yeah.
You know, and it just didn't... It was
forced.
It was very forced. He kept interrupting.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't let Pence talk.
He was irritating to watch.
Nobody wants Pence to talk less than I do.
I know.
Very few people in the state of Indiana dislike Mike Pence more than I do. I've lost elections to Mike Pence as a campaign person. But I wanted Mike Pence to have the chance to finish his sentence.
Yeah. I mean, he just was irritating. He was on edge, and you could tell he was so self-satisfied after every talking point. He wanted someone to give him a gold star up on the wall and the rest of the class to not get one.
Sounds like you're talking to me.
About me. Were you that kid?
No.
This doesn't reflect the book at all. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have a movie day. Mm-hmm. I really like to have homework.
Mm-hmm. Can we have a quiz? I prepared for the quiz. Why don't we have a quiz? Someone said there'd be a quiz.
You rewatch that debate, and he was just the kid that everybody hated.
He needed to be put in a locker. I think Mike Pence would have been justified picking him up by his underwear and shoving him right in a locker.
He didn't effectively tie Pence to what Trump said either.
Mm-mm. I mean, that's because of the distance there's been already. Right. They've been pretty strategic about that. It's not like they're one and the same. They talk to different elements within the party and kind of operate where they need to be most effective.
Right. Yeah, the other thing is that Pence, even if Donald Trump said exactly what Kaine would say, Pence would say, he didn't say that. Well, he did. You flat out are lying, but...
But you said it in a way that, and this other guy's so unlikable, I'm going to believe your lie, and I don't even care if it's a lie.
Yeah.
It's better than this guy's truth.
Right. He knows where Aleppo is. That's what I've been saying for 3 weeks. Yeah, there are several instances where they, both of them, just flat out didn't tell the truth.
Well, they're politicians.
Yeah, exactly. And for Pence, it was about Donald Trump's record, but that's because that's what Kane kept going back to.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't focus on anything else.
And again, this is going to be a real problem. If they just keep playing the game where it's only what Trump and Pence do wrong and they're not remembered for any of their answers.
Right.
They're not going to run a real... You can't win a political campaign just by picking apart your opponent solely.
Right.
Eventually, you have to get people to believe that you have a vision forward. Rather, because the last thing you want to do is say, well, we didn't ever craft a message of what we're going to do, so we're just going to continue the Obama administration. That's not going to win.
Well, that's the problem when you have two incredibly unlikable people running for presidency.
But then I had no idea. Like, Mike Pence is not going to go and win Mr. Congeniality at some convention of unlikable people. But no. Tim Kaine came across as every bit as unlikable as Hillary.
Yeah. He really did. He didn't help, you know, because I'm sitting here going, well, you know, I really haven't watched much of Tim Kaine. I mean, even though I'm politically informed of what I've seen of him on the Sunday shows, he seems kind of likable and folksy or whatever. So I was really looking to get a really good look at kind of what he believes and how he operates and what kind of politician he is, because I don't think you can see what kind of person he is based on these debates. I don't know that I'd want Hillary to die, because there's a strain of thought out
there.
Who
wants President Haskell?
Little Timmy Haskell.
Giving him that kind of authority?
Gee, Mrs. Beaver, you sure do look nice tonight.
Uh-huh.
So,
but that just, I don't, that wasn't good. That wasn't good for him, because regardless of the, it was more of a policy discussion, and they're both smart men and well-versed in that. I don't know. I'm like you. I don't like to talk about it in terms of winning, but I came away with less of an irritated or agitated feeling towards Mike Pence and even more like leaning sympathetically towards him.
Yeah. It's kind of like when Donald Trump says I'm a genius for not paying taxes. I go, oh man, don't make me like Donald Trump. It's like, damn it, Kane, don't make me like Mike Pence.
Right, you know, and he repeatedly did it, but you could tell he came in with an agenda of things to try to squeeze into a time frame.
Yeah, Kane or Pence?
Kane. Like, he came in like, all right, I've got a lot of content, I got to get it all in there, and I'm going to steamroll him.
Right.
You know, if you remember the Biden-Paul Ryan debate,
mm-hmm.
Joe Biden did that same sort of just overzealous, overbearing offensive across
right.
Paul Ryan. And Paul Ryan won because he came out as just calm and a likable person.
Right.
And then that helped his image even becoming Speaker of the House.
Do all the vice presidents have to sit down during their debate? Because Paul Ryan and Joe Biden were sitting down. I think Palin and Joe were sitting down. Is that a... I don't know if that's a thing or not.
Well, the campaigns have to agree to it, so it may just be a tradition, or it makes it feel more intimate to get to know people you don't.
Yeah. So, in terms of issues that were actually discussed,
it's the same.
There's, like, discussing abortion at the end, why even waste the 5 minutes on that?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's something, though, that had played absolutely no role.
Zero.
And Donald Trump... I mean, I still think personally he's pro-choice, just in my opinion. I mean, he plays the part well because he has to, but I don't think he is in any way, shape, or form going to want to pass a single piece of social legislation.
Yeah,
ever.
I didn't get the impression that Tim Kaine was very hot on being pro-choice.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, is in Virginia, which the swing states, you need to be pro-life.
Yeah.
Because in rural Pennsylvania, in Ohio, the rural areas, in Virginia,
like
North Carolina.
The Democrats here, yeah, they're very soft on it.
You have to be conservative socially and then union blue-collar Democrat on fiscal policies, mm-hmm. you know, sort of fair trade-ish rather than free trade. And I don't know, I just don't think, not that vice presidential debates are going to swing this election either way, because they just won't. But there was an element of Pence looked the part and came across as competent more so than Tim Kaine, who looked... like he was better suited to leading a committee in the Senate.
Yeah. Do we focus too much on how things are being said than we do what's being said?
Yeah, because this is our thing.
I'm not saying us. I'm saying us as a people.
Oh, absolutely. Because that's the difference. Like, FDR could never win today because he was in a wheelchair.
Right.
You know, and it's and he had some of the great rhetoric and the great lines, but, you know, we've become more vain because this is the visual medium's what dictates.
Yeah, like, I can't get past the fact that he keeps interrupting, so it distracts me from paying attention to what the two of them are saying.
Right, right. And for the most part, too, everyone knows what's coming. Everyone is just awaiting the soundbite.
Right.
We're all just waiting for that one answer that either hangs you or wins you the election.
Right.
And that didn't come tonight. Although Pence had a good line when he said, "You know, I'll be happy to work with you when you're back in the Senate."
Yeah.
And I thought that was a good assumption.
That was ballsy. Mm-hmm. Joe and Sarah stood up. Harry, I like having a producer. I like having somebody in the background. It's like... He's like Snerdly.
Well, that's... She had to be... Uh-oh.
Are you triggered?
Are you going to pay him like Snerdly?
Oh, I'd love to. I'd totally pay Harry like Snerdly if I had any money. I'd love to be paid like Rush.
You know, just when he's
I don't have
leaving.
Nearly the overhead in pills that he does, though.
Or cochlear implants.
Well, that is coming. I'm deaf. I can't understand a word Harry ever says. Like, and it, Harry is such a soft talker, and I am so deaf that, like, all night, Harry's been here since 6.
Is that when he usually gets off? Is that when you let the butler go home?
3 plus carry the 4. So that's like 8 hours. And Harry, I haven't heard a word he said all night, because he's like...
he's usually talking to himself, thinking things out.
Yeah,
so you know when it's directed at you or not. He's an out loud thinker.
But it's been great having Harry here. We enjoyed some Asian fusion tacos. I made him some pork tacos, and it's delicious.
Some interracial bonding.
Yeah. So you should talk into that mic if you want people to hear what you're saying.
I'm usually alone on Mondays and Tuesday nights because, like, the wife works second shift on Mondays and Tuesdays. So usually I'm home alone with my laptop.
You don't enjoy the solitude?
I do sometimes, and then sometimes I don't, and then I just get online, pwn some noobs, you know, the usual.
Pwn some noobs.
Wow.
For
you're one of those weeboos, aren't you?
Can you explain what pwning a noob is, please?
It just shows my age. It's kind of like saying, like, groovy, actually. It's a fairly old term of, like, getting on a game and, like, just completely destroying someone who's brand new to the game. You ever played a video game with, like, a cousin who's like, "Oh, yeah, come play this game with me," and they just completely destroy you.
And you just keep laughing and rubbing it in their face about how bad they are, hoping they don't quit.
And you just keep going.
See, that's sort of like Harry has been pwning my noobs all night long. Because I'm an Apple user, and so all night long I have been subjugated to, "Boo, you have an iPhone, let me tell you." Like, and he just makes fun of my Macs, he makes fun of my, and then, like, "You know, you could sell this monitor and you could make so much money." Because, why is that, Harry? Because Mac users are stupid as shit.
Because they eat it up too.
So
the guy with the skull cap and the Buck Commander adjustable hat on top of it, you know, is talking shit to you.
He's wearing it's the Starbucks logo, and it says "I love guns and coffee." But he was very excited. He walked into Asian fusion tacos and a craft beer. So I treat Harry right.
Yeah, moving on up. What'd you think? So, all in, what'd you think?
All in all, I think that, I don't know how many people watched. I think that this has the potential to kind of soften the news cycle a little bit for Trump, because the news cycle right now is so bad because he can't get off of himself being attacked. This was also one of the first times where Hillary Clinton got attacked. You know, the thing is for all the talk about liberal media bias... let's look at the way that Gary Johnson is treated, the way that Jill Stein is ignored, the way that Donald Trump... You look at that last debate, it was disgraceful that literally 80% of that debate was talking about Donald Trump.
It was a public prosecution.
It was, and it was defend yourself. And the emails, the Clinton Foundation, Benghazi, none of that ever got brought up. And
the women, Bill's women?
Yeah.
His harem?
It was all about Donald Trump, but... I don't need to watch myself on the Facebook Live. Thank you, Harry. But there's 12 people watching. We're big time now.
There you go.
Turn that back on. I kind of want to see me.
I like watching me, hearing me, and talking at the same time.
But see, it would be nice once we get this screen up and we can read the comments on the Facebook Live. So you got a good idea there.
Yeah, that's the goal, is to get the screens behind us. You can see comments, or just throw up a splash screen in the back of what things going on, so you have to promote something in the background.
Right. You're going to have this, and then a place where you take girls you go on dates with.
Listen, if you know what you're getting into when you're dating me, I don't care.
No, like, you don't.
I don't. I have the confidence to bring a woman to my Palace of Liberty, and
I have adorning fans.
I was thinking that this weekend as I was setting all this stuff up, I was like, I really need a second bedroom. This needs to go in a second bedroom. I need that.
It's a podcast studio.
My whole apartment is a podcast studio at this point.
It is.
I
didn't start out that way.
No.
Slowly but surely, Harry came over.
Harry came over, and he's turned everything into a podcast studio. I don't think that this really changed a lot of minds. I don't think
Vice presidential debates never do.
It never does, except for the Sarah Palin pick, because it was so
new.
Bad. But even that debate really helped Sarah Palin, because she didn't look like a total dumbass.
She did well in the debate. It was when she started doing one-on-one interviews.
So, but I think the effect of this is that it could help kind of end that bad news cycle that Donald Trump has had, where it will go from the Machado stuff and the tax stuff, which that's going to last till election
forever,
day.
Until they release it.
But, you know, this was the first time where Hillary Clinton's foundation got brought up, that, you know, Pence really nailed all of the stuff that conservatives love to rail against Hillary Clinton on.
And he's great. I mean, when he isn't defending himself, he's a killer.
Absolutely.
When he has to go and he gets blowback against his own things and has taken egg on his face, is when he kind of struggles.
Right.
You know, because he struggles to flirt that line of telling the truth, or like trying to not be a awful person.
I think that's natural.
Be a politician.
I think that's natural. It's hard when you are the person being beat up
to go back on the offensive.
It is hard, because you don't, you're in taking all that emotions, and you're it's hard to defend yourself.
You are.
Could you turn off the Trump memes?
But no, that's what Trump excels at.
Exactly.
That's what I admire, is he can be hit right in the face, and there isn't even a second for him to like process it. He goes, "Well, you're an ugly fat pig," and everybody agrees with me. Right. You know, he's really, it's like he's conditioned himself to, once he's hit, just slam nuclear force right back without regard to whether he's even operational.
And that's what's funny about that was inappropriate. I wish we could show what Harry was up to back behind us. He's trying to throw us off with celebritarians holding giant black dildos. Oh. he is. He has, I think, changed A, Rob Kendall, and B, American politics forever. Because that, and I think that Pence has learned a little bit watching him tonight, where he goes right back at him.
You don't have to apologize for being a conservative anymore.
You don't have to apologize
for the left.
You don't have to apologize for anything.
Yeah, he is, like, there used to be this fear among Republicans, and that's what dictated their nominees.
Right.
Jeb, McCain, you know, moderate people. Oh, yes, I'm a Republican, but, you know, you can bring me to dinner. You know, you can. Right. It's okay to tell people you're voting for me. All of a sudden, Donald Trump's changed the game, because, yep, I'm all these deplorable, horrible things, and guess what? I don't care.
Yeah.
And so he's given a lot of feedback and cover for people that have been silenced, you know, and not unclaimed for a long time.
I've learned a lot from Trump. I had a liberal start making fun of Gary Johnson and conservatives and liberal and. So I just started, like, he's like, "Well, you guys just want to take us back to the good old days of the 1800s. And I was like, "Oh, you mean progress? Like, here's every racist Margaret Sanger quote. Mm-hmm. And here's how the segregated army came about because of Woodrow Wilson. And here's internment camps." He stopped talking to me.
Damn right.
Right, because if you're going, the good old days of 1870, you know, that's better than, you know, the progress of
Donald Trump
eugenics.
Deporting people who are here without IDs and are not citizens doesn't even hold a candle to anything that the progressive and liberal icons have done that they love to quote and talk about as great movers of society.
Right.
The social planners. So that's what's so hilarious. Like, tonight, Tim Kaine quoted Thomas Jeffersonian principle that we hold.
Right.
I thought, what, like owning slaves?
And impregnating them?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing, is it's like, okay, well, if that's what you want to talk about, let's go ahead. Trump's done nothing even remotely close to owning property.
Right.
Buying people.
The Clinton, like Donald Trump's foundation is clearly a slush fund to avoid paying taxes. Not even you can argue that.
Every foundation is. Every right. private... Right. The Komen Foundation for Breast Cancer Research pays their CEO $750,000 right. a year. That is not what you should do as a charitable organization.
But the Clinton Foundation is weaponizing Citizens United. Like she complains about Citizens United. Meanwhile, she's Secretary of State, and foreign dictators are giving her $500,000, and then the next day they're getting favors.
It's the retainer escrow account for access.
Exactly right.
You know?
But
I'll throw in a bill speech free.
Sure. It's just amazing that stuff, that he's getting, he should be persecuted or prosecuted or whatever for any wrongdoing that he's done. But like the taxes thing to me doesn't make any sense.
People hate the IRS. Right. That's not a winner.
I don't want to pay taxes.
No.
And the guy's doing nothing illegal.
No, it's all allowed because it's all crooked.
If I could figure out a way to not pay taxes, I totally would.
Right. And that's the problem I have with how he's responded. He should be like, well, of course, why do you think I'm running? It isn't fair. I'm running against it's rigged in my favor, and I'm here to change it for you.
The other reason that he owed 900 and some billion in 1995 is because Bill Clinton passed a huge tax increase in 1993.
Yep.
So he owed way more taxes because of Hillary Clinton. So I thought that was the first time that you really got to look at like the two sides saying, well, you're going to raise taxes $1 trillion. Well, you're going to raise taxes. You're going to add to the deficit. Neither of them even answered the deficit question.
No. We're not fixing our deficit with the most right. comprehensive tax overhaul in history. Wouldn't even make a dent.
Right.
We have hundreds of trillions in unfunded outlays for Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. And then you factor in all the unfunded mandates now for Obamacare. Because what they're doing is subsidizing state adoption, but those all go away after 10 years.
Right.
I mean, it's a joke.
Yeah.
They're not ever going to, like, really, really... No one is going to present a comprehensive plan that's going to get us back on track. It's little moving the needles here or there, slight adjustments, you know, portrayed as the greatest and most important election of our time.
Right. Every election's the most important of our
time. Yeah, we're going to devalue our currency, continue running deficits, cut back, you know, slight means test entitlement reform, and then, like all powers that overspend on creating an imperial country, power, you have to dial back your military commitments.
Right.
England, the sun never set on the British Empire. Now they have like 6 boats. And Scotland doesn't even want to be a part of the island.
Right. Somebody said today, for libertarians, wouldn't it be better to fight against Clinton than Trump? Like, do you really think there's a difference? All that's going to happen is that Trump, when he gets into office, is going to hire every Reagan and Bush crony to be part of his administration because they're Republicans. And Clinton will hire every Clinton and Obama advisor that it just... The bureaucracy is fixed.
It is. It's so. The same people in and out. It's a revolving door because what they do is they make sure that they're the only people with the experience and the knowledge and know-how of how to navigate it. And they don't ever change roles because if you put someone in that's new, it's a scandal waiting to happen.
Yeah.
Jimmy Carter learned that. He brought in outsiders from Georgia and they didn't know what the hell they were doing and they got killed.
So what would we have seen tonight had Bill Weld been on the stage? How would it have been different?
The difference between Weld could have attacked Kane as a fraud on the like the women's rights,
mm-hmm.
homosexual marriage. You know, that's the nice thing. And then he could have really, I mean, because he could have said, I'm the only candidate here that actually cares about those things.
Right.
Tim Kaine doesn't. We know how Mike Pence is brave enough to admit where he actually stands.
Sure.
And then you could talk about actual tax and fiscal reform. And then you could also say Donald Trump, yes, has talked about getting foreign leaders to pay their fair share for our protective shell. But at the end of the day, it's time. It's time to bring our troops home. Both of these candidates, who knows what they actually, or the presidential candidates actually believe about withdrawing troops. What I can tell you is, as a libertarian, we don't have a dog in those fights anymore.
Yeah.
We got to bring them home. We need to protect our own country. We'll keep out foreign invaders and present a strong defense against... You know, potential intrusion, but outside of that, let the chips fall where they may.
Bill Weld is GOV Bill Weld on Twitter, and he tweeted thoughts throughout the debate, so you can go and check that out. As did Donald Trump during the
debate.
Well, Donald Trump, it turns out, had four advisors helping him review his tweets. Still managed to tweet out for a retweet an account that has several comments about white genocide and. At a Klan.
That's the thing, though, is if Bill Weld retweeted libertarians that followed him.
Oh my God!
There, we got a lot of those in our own house.
We sure do. Yeah,
it isn't like we don't have a bunch of preppers that think Muslims are all imams here to institute a new world order.
I Harry will attest to this. I was listening to Alex Jones when he got here. I have never listened to Alex Jones in my life. I decided, you know what? He had the big snafu with
Pierce
WikiLeaks.
Morgan. Oh.
With WikiLeaks last night. 1776!
The Pierce people got to raise up! Got to raise up in this country!
So I had never listened to it, so I turned it on. It was the funniest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
He's a televangelist, like Baptist fire and brimstone minister speaking on liberty.
Well, it's clear that WikiLeaks and Julian Assange have been, clearly they've been bought off by the U.S. government, and it's all, they're not even good at leaking. I mean,
Bernadette 613 on Anarchy Underground blog says, yeah. You know, that's the level of his sources for the most part, but he's wonderful at what he does.
Yeah.
He stokes the flames of anger for people so hungry for it. That are already sympathetic towards conspiracy and already are paranoid, and my God, does he sell it to them in masses.
He's so good. So good.
I mean, he reminds me of John Hagee, but a little bit of Liberty.
He is so fat, and he's like, this health
thing, it's so good. It makes me feel better than ever. I have so much energy.
And then he's taking pictures on horses like Putin,
mm-hmm.
which somebody put in our Facebook group. Yeah, he's something else. But yeah, a lot of that crowd, some of that stuff, it's very anti-Semitic.
They vote libertarian a lot.
Yeah. So, Gary Johnson's not retweeting those accounts.
That's the thing is that, you know...
Donald Trump has a history of not clearing and checking this kind of stuff.
Right, right.
It's an unfair attack in my mind because it's... I don't believe Donald Trump is a white supremacist racist.
No.
Not on purpose.
He took a picture with a taco bowl.
He loves Mexicans.
And he said the blacks are going to vote for him by 95%. Right. What has he got? What else? What could they lose? How could it get worse?
He does believe that he and his family, the racehorse theory, they're genetically superior. But other than that.
And part of that is I almost wonder if it's on purpose. Just to keep, I mean, you heard tonight, there wasn't a question about Hillary Clinton. Like, as soon as it started, yeah. It was about Trump.
Yes.
Every question is somehow, they need the word Trump in it.
Yeah.
And it's an addiction. It is a media addiction, the word Trump.
It's because we love the car wreck.
Mm-hmm.
It's what we love. It's not the liberal media. It's because you're consuming it. I hate Kim Kardashian news. Well, that's the first shit you click on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right.
He knows how to manipulate it and create controversy by doing just enough to leave a plausible deniability.
Right.
Especially, he can do it. You can have plausible deniability against Hillary Clinton. If he was running against Joe Biden, none of this would be possible. They need a disciplined candidate. And they'd still lose.
Yeah.
Trump's the only one that could win this election, the only Republican that could potentially pull this off.
I don't agree with you at all.
What other one that ran do you think could?
I think that... Hillary Clinton is so hated that a socialist, Michael Moore said it on Meet the Press this past weekend,
I'm not talking about Bernie. I'm talking about what Republican that ran.
No, I'm saying that Bernie is a great example of how disliked Hillary Clinton is.
Oh, yeah.
A 70-year... You have two candidates who were not a member of their party a year ago or 2 years ago, and then they Bernie Sanders was at the top of the ticket. A socialist who is 75 should never have won 24 states.
Mm-hmm.
And a socialist was a boogeyman up until this year. Mm-hmm. People 8 years ago called Barack Obama a socialist, and liberals lost their mind that, you know, how dare you smear him like that? You know, and here's a guy who comes along and says, yes, I'm not a member of the party, but and I'm a socialist. But and I want to give everybody free everything. Vote for me. And okay, you're not Hillary Clinton. She's so disliked that I think Marco Rubio, he would have had, he's undisciplined. He would have had a lot of gaffes.
And the Hispanics are never going to, that's the thing.
It's not Hispanics.
Toy.
It's that.
Who?
Marco. Who wouldn't?
No, but I'm saying they all tried. Back.
They couldn't beat Trump. They got trumped.
That's what I mean. It's like, you couldn't beat him because there wasn't anyone that was Ted Cruz would get crushed by Hillary. Jeb Bush is the same mistake as Mitt Romney. They can't crack 50%.
Right.
There wasn't a Republican capable of beating Hillary Clinton. There wasn't, because there's no Republican that appeals to blue-collar Democrats more than the Clinton machine. That you can't be done unless Donald Trump did it, and he had to do it by breaking the entire talking point framework. By being to the left of Clinton on trade.
But if Donald Trump weren't running, what would Hillary Clinton really have to talk about? She's not talking about how... She's talking about
what
how...
The Democrats
we're,
always do,
we're
though?
Stronger together, and that is a theme that is aimed at him. She's talking... That entire debate tonight, his entire prep was tie Mike Pence to Donald Trump. They're not running on substance. Their entire campaign is so fragile because she's such a weak candidate that... They are having to use Donald Trump. And so if you had another Republican, let's say if you had Rand Paul.
Oh, he'd get crushed.
Rand Paul.
Devastatingly
no,
crushed.
No, are you... How... Rand Paul is a guy who can appeal to independents. The fastest growing block of independents in the country are libertarians.
He'd get crushed.
I don't agree with you.
He can't win Ohio. He'd lose Ohio. He'd lose Virginia. He'd lose Florida because it's the elderly and his stance on Medicare and Medicaid. Mm-hmm. That's the election. There wasn't a Republican that, unless they became a blue-collar Democrat appeal, that could win the election. The electoral map is written in a way now that a Republican cannot win unless they rewrite the industrial Midwest.
Viewers on Facebook Live are saying that I'm giving Greg the Mike Pence face. What do you base Rand losing Ohio on?
He has no... He is so for things... globalization, mm-hmm. the restrictions of trade, and he appeals more to people that are on the left with the mandatory minimums, drug legalization. He isn't a Christian conservative. He doesn't identify with people. He doesn't inspire people. He doesn't elicit right. a response in hardly anyone. You know, that's the problem, and that's the
he's
problem.
Also a poor candidate.
Ted's unlikable. Jeb yeah. Bush, you might as well run John Kasich.
But is Ted Cruz more or less unlikable than Hillary Clinton?
He's every bit as unlikable as Donald Trump.
I don't agree because...
Oh, I do. He's so pedantic and condescending.
Donald Trump is likable, though. Donald Trump is likable if you, like, are us.
No, Donald Trump's likable to people that... You know, he's...
Like
he,
a troll?
Yeah, well, no, he's likable because he comes from the outside. He is the outsider. He's the noob. He's the, you know, he is the... The big wrench in the gear.
But he chose that in inexperience.
I know, but people like it because it's sincere. It's authentic in experience. It's not Christie saying...
Idiocy is not authenticity.
It is to idiots. and we got a lot of idiots.
It's true.
We are a nation of idiots. And so he identifies. Point. And that's the thing, is that the Republicans have to accept anyone on that stage that was up there, there wasn't one that could actually win the election except him. Or they would have. Jeb Bush would never get Republicans out in masses.
No, Jeb would have totally been another redo of the same problems that Romney and McCain had with the base.
Right.
But Trump is having that as well.
But that's why he has Pence.
Sure, but is that going to be enough tonight to inspire Republicans to come out and help?
Yeah, because they're running against a Clinton and they like the way Trump hits a Clinton. Like, that's the thing, is Republicans, the one thing they love that you can do that is the ultimate red meat is hammer away at a Clinton. And Trump does it better than anyone in history.
But Bill's scandals and, you know, Benghazi and all this stuff, these are the same attacks that they've been using for 20 years with his scandals.
But look at us. When we hear in the Fed, we cheer.
Well, it makes my nipples
hard, right. You know what I mean? Or taxation's theft, or all the there are things we've heard them a million times.
Right.
But then when you hear them, it just feels good.
I just realized that when I did this, it was on camera.
It was. Aaron, that better be screenshotted.
Aaron has already screenshotted that. And is memeing me as we speak as he enjoys a nice shower beer. No, a lot of what Trump is wanting to roll out against her is the same old attacks that haven't worked in so many years with the Clintons.
It's never been done the Trump way, though, where it's brazen and unapologetic. But it's always alleged and underhanded.
That is great at getting the people that he's already going to get. He has to
but
get,
he hasn't been getting
he
his
has
base,
to
though.
Get, but he has to get more independent-minded people to
They're
going to
stay home
for him.
Independents are staying home. This election is get your base out or don't. It is. And independents support Trump 35% to her like 11.
Well, I think she's more of a known quantity, so I could see that. I think it's in terms of what this election's... I think that voter turnout will probably be pretty low.
Oh my God.
Yeah, which will really... That always helps libertarians. How many people do you think are going to walk into the ballot box and go, oh, there's a third choice? Okay, I don't know anything about him, but he has to be better.
There are. I mean, in this world, it's simply going to be people that can stomach voting for Hillary, so they're not going to be inspired. People that are deathly afraid of Trump. People that are so disgusted with either one of them, they'll either stay home, which I think is going to be a lot more than people think, or they'll vote for Gary. Then the libertarian vote. Then Trump's deplorables, and then the Republican base that he's going to have Pence and the rest of the apparatus get to show up in Virginia, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and North Carolina. If he does that, he wins the election.
Because
you only need Ohio and Virginia.
Well, I mean, Hillary was just in Ohio this week for the first time in a month. They've all but given up on Ohio.
Yep. In Pennsylvania, they claim that, I mean, I've seen anywhere between 9 and then him only down 2. I just think it's one of those things that if you base it off of the 2012 models, turnout isn't going to be that high.
No, not even close.
And African-American support is not going to be nearly what it was, so you can't count on that.
Millennials are not supporting Hillary Clinton in any way, shape, or form, and they're definitely not going to go for Donald Trump.
Nope. And so that you really run into a dilemma where if you don't vote, it becomes more like a midterm election, and that favors Trump.
Right.
But that's why he was the only one I thought could win, because anyone else loses Ohio except maybe Kasich, but John Kasich would lose. I mean, he would never have appeal in any of the places he has to win.
I don't think that voters got a really good... I think if voters got a look at Kasich versus Trump side by side, I think they would vote for him.
He's so Tim Kaine. He's that know-it-all.
Yeah, but I would take Tim Kaine over Hillary Clinton if I had
Not after tonight for me.
No, I'm not saying that, like, I'm going to vote for Tim Kaine. I'm saying
forced
that, like,
to choose.
If you're forced to choose,
oh, yeah,
and you only have those two.
I would take Hillary.
Hillary over Kasich?
The class know-it-all. I would deport him
she
before the illegals.
She is the class know-it-all.
But less than Tim.
No way. Are you kidding me?
She's
no.
The class know-it-all that'll shoot you if you dare speak up. He's the class know-it-all that'll just keep badgering you till you choke him to death.
What's the girl from Election?
Oh.
You know, the Reese Witherspoon. All right. Let's
wrap up.
Let's wrap up. Yeah, so I don't think that this changes very many minds. It never really does. But I do think that this can help with the media cycle.
Yeah, I do. I think that Pence, it won't move the needle at all. I don't know if it'll even make the news. It'd be funny if there were no headlines about the vice presidential debate. That would be actually what was warranted. But
well, Kim Kardashian got robbed.
Yeah. Yeah. But at the end of the day, Tim Kaine was way less likable than I thought. So
yeah,
that was the one surprise.
Yeah.
Somebody give him a swirly.
Kardashian, I should mention this. Kardashian's kind of why Trump is popular.
She's considering voting for him after endorsing Hillary.
I can't stand Kim Kardashian, but I opened 3 different articles about her being robbed. Just because I want to see what's going on. So, you know, that's why he sells, because I gave 3 clicks to some media outlet, and so they're like,
you got link baited.
Yep. So, all right. Well, a couple of class announcements. Greg and I will be speaking on Monday night. Our American Initiative is Gary Johnson connected organization, although they are not political. We cannot stump for any candidate or talk politics, but Greg and I will be speaking at IU, Indiana University, on Monday night, which is October the 10th.
10th. 7:30, I believe.
7:30. So come out and see us speak. Alexander McCobin from Students for Liberty will be there. Gosh, who are the others? I can't think of the others.
We know one.
Oh. Should I mention it?
No, I think you shouldn't. That would be ideal.
We do have a never bitter policy That's on this true. Show. But
he will be there. Don't let that depress you. You can still come out. And we will mock him
if
as a group.
If we mention that Brett Bittner is speaking, then people might not show up. Or they could show up in their Never Bittner t-shirts.
That's true. I wish everyone should show up together in those white Velcro shoes.
the
with backpacks on.
The little Brett Bittner Pacers.
Yep, the pacemakers.
The pacemakers. I haven't talked to Brett in like 3 weeks. Is he okay?
Yeah, he's doing well. Okay. I saw him just for our AFF event.
Yeah, I was sick. Not feeling well. Yeah.
I knew you were sick because while it was going, you were actually Snapchatting and making videos while the event was going, making fun of me, posting it on my wall. But nothing says I'm not feeling well tonight like making fun of the person you backed out on 45 minutes before.
I was in bed at like 4:30 that day, and I'm sitting in bed, and Snapchat had a new filter, and it was a hat. And some glasses, and I realized that if I put my face on my pillow and scrunched up my mouth, for some reason I looked just like Greg.
Except it was blackface, so I was very...
I looked very swarthy. So you can go to Gregory Lens, and you can see that video. So join Brett Bittner, Greg and I, possibly Rupert. Rupert may be there on Monday night, so, and a lot of different libertarians hear us speak. Get the email newsletter at wearelibertarians.com. And I think that's it. I think that's all for announcements. Harry, please don't break anything.
I have can't find good help anymore.
I have no money to fix anything. All right. Thanks for joining us here on We Are Libertarians for this. We'll be back in a couple days. So we're actually
doing... Are we doing...
on Thursday.
Oh, crap.
Yeah.
Okay.
You better write that down.
I better cancel my other plans.
Yeah. How'd you forget?
I've totally spaced it. We've done a lot lately.
I know. Well, buckle up, bucko.
I know.
Because we've got Thursday with Drew Thompson.
That's right. Thursday with Drew.
And then we've got Sunday. We've got the presidential debate.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And then we're doing an episode that next Tuesday.
That's right.
And then I think we had somebody scheduled for the Thursday after that, too. So,
my God.
You are about to get a lot of us.
A lot of casting.
Yep. So, well, I've got a... Never mind. All right. Thanks for joining us here on this episode of We Are Libertarians. We thank you for joining us, and we will talk to you soon. And as always, we promise...
to do better next time.